Let's all say amen. Amen. I want to say good morning to everyone. Morning. I want to thank you for your presence here on this morning as we assembled here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. And I want to just say it's good to see everybody singing. Thank all our brothers for their participation on this morning in our worship service this morning. Yeah, David, I said, David, you got glasses on, David. I haven't seen you with them glasses on. Yeah, it was coming. It was coming. Yeah, you tried to be 14, but you're not 14 no more. You're going to get them glasses. Yeah. Hope, get them glasses. Yeah. That's it. Amen, somebody. How we feeling this morning? Yeah, feeling good. So we're here this morning, as we like to say, those that are visiting with us, want you to know we are here this morning. We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Luke, when he penned the Acts of the Apostles, he told us in verse number 42, when they first assembled after the ascension of Christ, those five acts of worship that when we come to worship God, we should be participatory in. He says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching, and fellowship, that is giving back to the Lord, what the Lord has blessed us with. And I want to just share with us, we all these five acts, we must be participatory in. Amen? And he says, and in breaking the bread, that allows me to commune with the Lord for the suffering that he did for me on the cross. And then also we have prayer. Prayers are led by men. Men lead in service to our Lord. And then he said in verse number 47, praising God, we sing without the use of mechanical instrument. We praise God, as the Hebrew writer wrote, with the fruit of our lips. And then he said, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Amen? And I want to say this morning, if you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, this letter that I'm reading or this text that I'm reading was written to Christians. But I want to say this morning, if you're here this morning, you've come this morning to worship with us. I want to share with you, I want you to understand and to know we want you to become a Christian. Amen? Yeah, no one is saved. And I say this constantly. No one is saved from their sins until they obey the Lord. We thank those that came out to support the funeral yesterday, made it clear from the scriptures that the Bible teaches there are only two conditions a person can die in. Jesus said it in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Then when Jesus, the Revelator, when John wrote, he said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. It's not so important how we die. It's the condition we die in. Because we all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Yeah. We're going to talk this morning how we should live on this morning. How we should live. So continuing with our text from Paul's letter to the Philippian church, the church that he ministered, that he loved, this congregation, possibly more than any. And you see that in his letter. But he spoke, and we are picking up in verse number 27. He says to them, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Yeah. We're going to unfold that this morning. What is the meaning of conversation in this text? Because when we think about conversation, we think about talking to people. Yeah, talking to people. Do you have conversation with him? But understand what the text is saying. So, again, what is the meaning of the word conversation? And then how does the Christian conversation become the gospel of Christ, because that's what Paul said in the text. That's what Paul said in the text. So again, what is meant by conversation, and what is Paul saying to those Christians that whatever the conversation is, it has to become the gospel of Christ. Amen? Paul said in his letter, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you. He was in prison at the time. Or else be absent. I may hear of your affairs. Affairs mean your way of living. I may hear how you're living, that you stand fast in one spirit. The word fast means stand firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul said them. Now, let the conversation be as becoming the gospel of Christ. Paul said, whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent and I hear about what's going on at the congregation, the thing that I want to hear is that you all are, we stand fast in one spirit and we have one mind, striving together. The word striving means to contend along with someone else. So we are striving together, Highland Heights, for the faith of the gospel. Yeah. That's our responsibility here. One mind. And that mind comes from the word of God. That one mind. What does the scripture teach? And so I want to share that with us today, that we understand what Paul was saying to this congregation. And he said, let your conversation. Well, the word conversation is a metaphor. Paul was saying metaphorically that your manner of life be worthily. That's what he was saying. Yeah. Your manner of life be worthily of the gospel of Christ. Yeah, so when you talk about conversation, we're talking about how you act and think at all times, not just sometimes. Yeah, we got to work on ourselves. Yeah. Brother Strada, I have to work on myself. Right. That when I walk, that my manner of life be worthily, worthily what? Of the gospel of Christ. Yeah, the Christian life should have value. We are obligated to give back to God a deserving response for the love he showed toward us. That's what that means. God showed all of us love by the gospel of Christ, Christ suffering. Paul's going to say that in the text. So I'm saying to all of us that our manner of life ought to be worthy of the gospel. Yeah, I should live in a certain way. That how I live is very important. Why? Because that's my response back to God, how I live. Yeah, if you know, sometimes you can do something for your children, and if they don't respond to you, it's disappointing. You go do all this for them. You do the sacrifice for them. You help them to get through school, and then they waste their education. Yeah. You sacrifice for them. Sometimes you have to work one job and two jobs just to make ends meet so they don't have to, or in some cases, have to work. They can just focus on school. You make a sacrifice. You suffer for them. And then for them not to behave appropriately in school. I know when I was in school, my mother tell me, if I ever have to come up there, if I ever have to come up there and I have to leave my job, because back then they didn't have no PTO. When you left that job, you didn't get paid. Yeah, some of us know about that. And she said, if they call me, and if I come up there, you know, and the last thing she said, please don't call my mama. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then sometimes, you know, we get to the point where she'll just say, Miss So-and-so, just call me. And so I learned, I mean, and my mother, my daughter, my oldest daughter takes her height from my mother. So my mother was petite in stature. However, the fear of God was there. Yeah, because back then, they didn't have no CPS. Yeah, because she told me, I wish you would call somebody on me. Yeah, because when you call them, guess what? They're going to put handcuffs on me because I'm going to jail, but I'm going to jail for a reason. Yeah, parents didn't play back then. Yeah, they meant what they said, and they said what they... Yeah. Sometimes, you know, today, you know, you got a single parent. Sometimes that's the hand we dealt. We go out and we make mistakes and we have to deal with those mistakes. Yeah, but you still got to be a parent. You still got to be a parent. And so what Paul was saying here in the text is that the sacrifice, and we'll see it in the text, that God made through Christ for us should be that driving force that we live as become the gospel of Christ. Well, how do I do that, Brother Stroud? Well, he says in Acts 17, verse 11, what the text said, these, talking about the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. There is a need for the child of God to be constant and a careful student of the scriptures. We got to study. Yeah. How can I behave or do something if it's not in my mind? So I have to become a student. If you're not studying the word of God, now watch what the text says. They search the scriptures how often? So if I want to be more noble, I should be, and I don't have to find time because time is missing. I see it right there. I have to make time in my schedule to study the word of God every day. Yeah. Encouragement from the preacher. When I get up in the morning, if the Lord allow me to put my feet on the floor, I need to make time to study a portion of God's word. You'll be amazed sometime how just, you know, when you know, sometimes it's difficult to study the word of God and stay mad. That makes sense? Because the word of God has a melting effect. You know, when you study the word of God, if you are open to the word of God, it'll put you in the right place you're supposed to be in. And so Paul said to them, search the scripture daily, whether those things are so. Why should I do that? Because in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:2, he said, we are known and read of all men. Yeah, people are watching our lives. When you say you're a member of the Church of Christ, people are watching you. Yeah, because you say you're a Christian. You know how they say, y'all say y'all the only ones going to heaven. No, what we teach is that those that do the will of God are going to heaven. Yeah. But again, studying the word of God is how I grow spiritually and develop spiritually by studying the word of God. So I'm saying to us, if studying the word of God has not been a daily occurrence of mine, I have encouragement from the word of God. Search the scriptures. He said they were more noble. Why? Because they received the word. And I want to say this to all of you, when I come to worship service, you know, what's your mindset when you come here? Am I here to receive the word of God? Because I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse. And I'm going to teach it in a way we can all understand it. You don't have to get, what do you mean by that? I'm going to share it to the best of my ability where it's in its simplicity. But we got to come in with a mindset that I want to receive a readiness of mine. And we want to search the scriptures daily. What says the Lord? That's the mindset. That's how we grow. Yeah, so I want to make sure that my life that God has given me by becoming a Christian is one that becometh as the gospel of Christ. Then Paul said, and in nothing, watch this now, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. He said, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. And that is, he said, of God. So now watch what Paul said. Paul wants the church to understand, and I'm talking to all of us, I'm talking to myself. The word terrified in the text means to cause someone to be afraid. Mm-hmm. Now, the text says, you ought not to be afraid of nothing. And nothing. Nothing. No situation, no circumstance ought to have you scared. No. I'm going to share why. He said, by your adversaries. Yeah. Notice he said adversaries with an S. An adversary is someone who attacks or tries to harm another. In other words, it's an enemy. Yeah. We all have enemies. Yeah. Those that don't have our best interests in mind. Amen, Brother Stroud. Amen myself. Why? It's in the text. Paul told him, you're going to have adversaries. You're going to have those that want to try to attack you or try to harm you. But the text says, don't be afraid of them. That's the teaching. Don't be afraid of them. Why, Paul? He said, because what they're doing is an evident token, meaning a token is something that shows something of their perdition. Perdition means destruction. Paul said, those that are adversaries towards you, what they're doing is they're setting their own destruction. But while they're doing that, it is for you. What they're doing to you is for your salvation. Why? God got your back. Yeah. God's people can face trials. And because of him, our faith allows us to be victorious. None of us should be walking around fearful of other people. Jesus said, fear them that can be of the body and soul.
That's right.
Yeah, walk around here timid and scared. No, I've said this before. When you as a preacher, Brother Uncle Hugh P. taught me this here. Hugh P. Miles. He said, son, if you're going to get up and preach and you got a yellow stripe down your back, sit down.
That's
right. Sit down. He told me this here also. He said, son, he said, if you preach the word of God, no one can give you too much. He said, however, if you don't preach what's sound, anything they give you is too much. Yeah. So I want the congregation to know that I'm going to stand on the word of God. Stand on the word of God. Let come what may. And we'll deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have adversaries. Not scared. Not scared. Nothing yellow. I got on beige and pink this morning. Yeah. Sister Stroud got on beige and pink this morning. We together. We striving together. I'm saying to us, why are we not be, why, what happens, Brother Stroud, when I get scared? Paul told Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that tells me, when I become fearful, that didn't come from God. Yeah, can we get scared? Yes, we can. Can we get fearful? Yes, we can. But understand this, didn't come from God. Because what God does, God gives us power through his word. God shows us love through his word. And God allows us to have a sound mind through his word. Christians can get strength from the scriptures. Yeah.
Congregation, we're not scared. We're not fearful. You know, people want to say, well, this going to happen, that going to happen. All we have to do is be faithful. That's it. Be faithful. Be faithful in attendance. Be faithful in giving. God will do the rest.
Amen.
Be faithful in prayer. Pray for other people. Those people that are going through things. When I hear about them, as soon as I get it, many of you got a text from me. I'm praying for you. All right? When I send you the text, I'll generally say, I have prayed for you. Because it ain't something I'm going to do. It's something I have done.
Yeah.
We have to pray for one another.
Yes,
and your situation. Right. Pray for them. Pray for them. And then see God work through prayer. The prayers of the righteous avail him much. That's why when we have those that are asked for prayer on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, sometimes I can just group them together and say, Lord, when me and sister I pray at night, I want to pray for all those that requested prayer on this morning. I want to pray for those that asked for prayer on Wednesday night. Lord, you know who they are. You know what their circumstances are. And my prayer, Lord, is this, that you will put people in their lives. You will put resources in their lives because God works through people. There are no miracles today. Yeah, God works through people. Yeah. So when those people going in for surgeries, for tests, I pray that God will be with those that administer the services, the medical procedures to those people, that God will be with them.
Yes,
so we pray for those people.
Yes,
yeah, but don't have a spirit of fear. God said, but one of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's the mind we have. Yeah, because the Hebrew writer said, watch what he said, so that we may boldly say, and the word boldly here means confidently. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. When I understand, the Hebrew writer wanted them to know that the Lord is your helper. What does helper mean? To give assistance to someone who is suffering or in a difficult situation. The Lord is there for us. Now, our responsibility is to make good decisions in difficult situations. See, sometimes we mess up. We get in a tight. And we do things that are not scriptural. And then we want God to run to our rescue. Sometimes there are consequences for behavior. What do you mean by that, Brother Stroud? Well, if it starts raining outside, and I go out there without an umbrella, I'm going to get. That's the natural consequence. It's raining, you ain't got an umbrella, you're going to get wet. And I'm saying for us as Christians, and I'll speak about this more, I'll unfold this tonight when I talk about our manner of conversation. I'm going to show us tonight from the Word of God how our thinking and our feelings affect how we behave. That's why I have to study the Word of God. So when that situation comes up, I know how to behave. I know how to behave. And I know how that the Lord is my helper.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fear nobody. Yeah, well, Stroud, give me a taste of what you're talking about. Turn your Bibles, get your Bibles out. You didn't use your Bibles yet. Ephesians chapter 4. So you get to give a glimpse of what the process is. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse is number 28. Show you how this works. Just give us, when I'm studying the Word of God, how the Word of God ought to work in my life. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians in verse 28, he said, let him that stole steal no what? Yeah. So that means that was my behavior. I used to steal. Yeah. I remember I was playing sports, and you know, you want to, you know, you go and have a good game, and you want to read about yourself in the paper, but you ain't have no money. And I may go up there, and you know, we try to get cute now, five-finger discount. Ain't no such thing as no five-finger discount. But y'all, you stole that newspaper. Yeah. I did that. I stole. When I needed something, when I was in tight, when I was difficult, I would steal. However, now the Word of God teaches me, let him that stole, don't do it no more. We see that? Now watch, like I said, in it, the Bible says here, but rather, let him labor. Get you a job. Working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now watch the word that. Anytime you see the word that, there's instructions behind it. Now watch what he said. That you may have to give to him that what? So what the Lord teaches us in the text, not only do I, the money I earn, I am to provide for my family. First, no, let me back that up. The first thing I do with any money I give to who? Yeah. Any money you make, you first give to the Lord. If you can't pay your light bill, if you can't pay your car note, you give to the Lord. Yeah. Then I have a responsibility to provide for my family. That's why I work for a living. Yeah. To provide for my family. But the Lord also instructs me, Brother Stroud, it ain't all about you and your family. You got to find people out in need and give to them. So if the Lord done bless you, and you doing well, here, then the Lord says here, that he may have. If I have it, give it to somebody else that, that's in the text. Yeah. Nothing wrong with you. I mean, you can go on a cruise. You can go, you know, take a flight. You go do all this stuff you want to do. That's okay. That's good. If the Lord done bless you, 1 Timothy 6:17, God give us all things to enjoy. Nothing wrong with enjoying life and enjoying things. But make sure you not only give to the Lord, give somebody that needs something. Yeah. Don't spend all your money at the cruise. Yeah. I mean, you can go there and cruise. But break something, don't you say, break something off for somebody that ain't as fortunate as you. Yeah. Some people may not have, quote unquote, the education that you have. Amen. Yeah, you done blessed yourself and you got your doctorate. You got all this stuff here, by all these letters behind your name. Yeah. And you get jumpy, say, you living large. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. 1 Timothy 6:17. Let me show you that. Now, I don't want to say the scripture. No, don't read it. Amen? Yeah. So people say, well, no, you ain't, you shouldn't be going to work. Well, you go somewhere. Yeah. You do things. Yeah. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 6:17. He said, charge them, instruct them that are rich in this world. So evidently you have some Christians that was rich in this world. What's the instruction? That. Look at that word. Always when you see the word that, instructions come behind it. That they be not high-minded. In other words, you don't think you better than nobody. Yeah. Because the Lord done bless you. Don't think that you better. Paul, tell Timothy to let them know that they not be high-minded and start thinking they better than people. And don't get them to start thinking because they have money, can't nothing happen to them. Nor trust in your uncertain riches. Here today, gone today. There. You can have the biggest job in the world, and you go in on Monday morning, and they tell you they put something pink in your hand. Yeah. That's it. Harold just said, no longer required. Your services are no longer needed. Yeah. He said, but, watch this here. I don't trust in money. You trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, understand this here. That richly is not just can be money. God can bless you richly with health. Yeah. Pete sits back there, 81 years old, moved better than some of us 14 years old. Yeah, Lord bless him with his health. Still active. Yeah. So we have a responsibility. That's why I try to tell us, take care of our health. Three things, I've shared this before while I'm at this point. Three things that's important concerning your health. One, that I eat healthy. Two, that I exercise whatever I can do. Three, make sure you get sleep. Yeah. The body is designed to sleep. As I said before in the message before about the Bible talks about CF where while your body is sleeping, that fluid goes from your spine and it goes up and it washes out your brain, but that only happens when you're in that deep sleep. Yeah. God has designed the body to take care of itself if we obey God. Yeah. So again, God will take care of it. We just got to make good decisions. Then he said, verse 29, move to a halt. For unto you, Paul said, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now notice now, in that text, there are two blessings in the text. The first blessing is, it was the privilege of believing in Christ. That's a privilege. Yeah. To believe in Christ is a privilege. Yeah. And then he says, but also to suffer for his sake. Yeah. Every Christian should thank God daily that they are believers in Christ. If you are a Christian today, every day you wake up, thank God. You are a Christian. You're no longer in the world. I'll talk about a little bit that about tonight. But you are a Christian. Thank God that you are a believer. And then secondly, he says to be able to suffer in the behalf of Christ. Now, we want to understand, as I'm moving to a close here, trying to be timely. He says, Peter wrote, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. The just, that being Christ, for the unjust, that's all of us. Why did he do it? Watch that word, that again. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So Peter wanted his writers, those that he wrote, to understand that what Jesus did by dying on the cross, Christ first suffered for us and died on the cross. That's the reason I should live as become the gospel of Christ. That's the reason that my manner of life need to be worthy. Why? Because Christ died. Right. That's why I live. That's why I try to live consistent in my life. Why? Because Jesus did that, God, Peter said, that he might bring us to God. But he had to be put to death and then be made alive in order for that to happen. Right. That's why our behavior is becoming or become the gospel of Christ. And then we also have to understand, Paul said this concerning our suffering. He said, yea, and all, not some, he said, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Christian should expect some sort of persecution. Yeah, it comes with the territory. You're a Christian, you're the preacher, people gonna take shots at you. They do that. Why? Because you're a target. Don't want to be a target, don't get up here. Yeah. It comes with the territory. Yeah. Yeah. People take shots. Yeah. I will suffer. Now, and when I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize. Yeah. We all fallible creatures. We're going to make mistakes. But there ought to be some consistency in our life. But understand that Paul wants to know, we all going to suffer persecution. Amen? And then my last verse. Paul said this. He said, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Well, Paul here in that last verse was saying, the word conflict means struggles or fights. Paul said, you done saw the struggles I have. You done saw the fights I've been in. And I'm saying to each of us, you may be right now in a struggle and in a fight. Yeah. You may be fighting at the job. You may be fighting with family members. You may be fighting with your neighbor. You are in struggles. We're fighting. Paul said that, having the same conflict which you saw in me. And also the word, what Paul was saying is that sometimes stuff that's inside of us is because of what's outside of us. Yeah. Sometimes people will get on your last. Yeah. That's what Paul was saying. Understand this here. Yeah. You're going to have stuff on the outside that affect you on the inside. Yeah. Adversaries, you got them. We got them. Yeah. At Highland Heights here, we have them. Yeah, we have them. Why you say that, Pastor? Well, I got a standard. Jesus had 12 with him, one of them. There's more than 12 people in here. Yeah. Come with the territory. Yeah. Now I say this to anybody. Let me just while I'm here, I'm going to close. If anyone, and I said this before, but I want to repeat it so it'll be clear. If anyone has an issue with Brother Stroud, please come to Brother Stroud. You are in sin when you go to someone else to tell them something about Brother Stroud.
That's
sinful. And the person that becomes a garbage can and lets you dump stuff in them, they are in sin also.
No.
Say that.
Say it.
Man, people keep telling, why are they coming to you? You should have sent them to me.
Amen.
I'm the one preached it. I'm the one said it.
Right.
And I'm saying all the church, my door is always open. Nobody, I say you could, but I would talk to me. You can talk to me. I want to be a preacher. You can talk to.
No.
Not talk at, but talk to.
No.
Yeah. So the record will be straight. You don't have to go to nobody about Brother Stroud.
Amen.
Because if you're not careful, a little closing text. Those conflicts that's on the outside can affect you on the. Yeah. Yeah. We should come to church and we shouldn't be worrying about all this other stuff going on. And I said, church, we should come here on Sunday to love one another and show love to one another. And I said, it starts with me showing love to everybody. And then it should permeate. Yeah, this getting in pockets and all that stuff, that's sinful. That's messy. That's carnality. So if you're here today, I see David walking up. He got on his glasses. He may know where he's going. He got on his glasses here. He know where he's going. Yeah, I was kidding today. I saw the four of them coming in. Sister Hill came in. Harold came in. And they was all there. I said, is this the Hill Street Church of Christ? David, you weren't there yet. So, but yeah. You was over there? Okay, I said the Hill Street Church of Christ. But now, what I'm saying is that it's good when a family worship together. That's the positive of that. that we have enough of us that we are part of this congregation. We are part of it moving forward. And we go all the way back to Sister Hill's mother, and then it comes down. And let me say this here. Every generation of Hills ought to get better. Why? Because the one before you made sacrifices so things could be better. Yeah. So what I'm saying, all of us, we want our children to be better lives than we live, because we made sacrifice for them. Now, will they make wrong decisions? Yes, they will. Yeah, but we still love them. And if they need something, we are there for them. You don't turn your back because a child made a mistake and didn't do what you asked them to do. Well, they made you, when you grew up, you did stuff you weren't supposed to do.
Right.
And your mother didn't do you like the Flintstones and lock you out of the house. Remember that you put Fred was beating on the door, Wilma! They locked him out. Yeah. Your family ain't lock you out. They let you come on in. So you let them come on in. Why? By showing love. Amen? But as I come down, if you're here this morning, I want you to be a Christian. You need to know what God says from His Word to become a Christian. You become a Christian. I talked about the gospel of Christ in my message. The gospel of Christ, three facts: that Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins. Not only, I just read the text, He was buried. He rose again the third day. You got to believe that. You heard it, believe it. Now what you have to do, the lifestyle you've been living has been against Christ, because you're not a Christian. You can't live for the Lord and not be a Christian. So what you need to do, when you come down this morning and you make the statement, you repent of your sins, you come down this morning, and I'll ask you one question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And according to Acts 8:37, the eunuch said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then what we'll do then, we'll prepare you to water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sin. And by faith, according to Hebrews 9:22, the blood of Christ is in that water to cleanse you, from all your past sins. And now you are a Christian then. You are a child of God. And I beg you this morning to obey the Lord. Come down this morning. I know sometimes we have thoughts coming down. If you with someone, have that person to come down with you. Amen? Yeah, sometimes we need assistance, encourage, help us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, want you to be a Christian, we bid you to come down today and obey the Lord as we gather, stand, and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you. Come on, Brother David.
Sometimes I ponder as down life's road I wander to a city over yonder where peace and love abide. Are gone forever, and He'll find me never. Lord, you'll see there'll be a place for me, and I'm going there someday. Look down upon me, and Lord, have mercy on me. I am just a weary pilgrim. I am tired and so forlorn. And all that I'm possessing. a place for me, and I'm going there someday.
I just want to thank you for your patience and listening to me preach God's word on this morning. Thank you very much.